Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by It's for Women. Discover female health insurance through It's for Women.
Now, back home, one of the great beloved voices of this country has died, Máncán McGann. He was a man who understood the connections between the collective Irish spirit and the natural landscape, and our Teanga has died. And Máncán, he grew up just around the corner here in Donnybrook. He was just 55 years of age, broadcaster, writer, scrivener. It's only 3 weeks since he was on Brendan O'Connor, and he announced he'd terminal prostate cancer then. It had spread to multiple organs. He was talking about weeks and months, but said maybe a year or two. Sadly, that's only 3 weeks ago. Imagine tomorrow. That's an extraordinary interview, by the way, worth listening back to on Brendan. And Máncán, in that, he said he hadn't felt much despair or self-pity. He was sad, obviously, for the loved ones that he was going to, that are going to be mourning him now. An obituary in the Irish Times overnight says he spent summers of his youth in the West Kerry Gaeltacht, and nurtured by his terrier-like granny, a veteran Republican who he said viewed him as another foot soldier in this cultural war. For the last century, he lived in an oak wood with bees, hens and occasionally pigs in a grass-roofed house near Loughlean in County Westmeath. And he was a very, very important figure for us on language, culture, travel. Indeed, all of the kind of, the huge uplift we're listening to and viewing and celebrating in Gaeilge at the moment, from Kneecap to An Colleen Cuan to just Irish names like Fia and Fola and Rian and the Keans all over the country, and this grow for the Teanga. He'd loads of friends in the arts, and Fíochna Ó Briannán was one of them for sure. He's on the line. Good morning to you, Fíochna.
Good morning, Oliver.
And I'm sorry about to hear the passing of your friend this morning.
It's heartbreaking. It's just a few minutes ago, as I was trying to getting my daughter ready for school, who's only 11, she turned around and said to me, "Why does the world take somebody so brilliant and so young when the world allows cruel, horrible people like Trump, etc., to live into old age?" And she's dead right.
What do you say to her?
I said to her, I can't explain it. I guess my explanation would be that Máncán, for so many people, or Máncán himself, believed in language and believed in nature and believed in humanity and believed in ancient culture as a portal into enlightenment and into connection with what it's really all about. And I suppose I would explain to her that Máncán himself was indeed that portal, in the way he lived his life, in his beautiful being, the most non-toxic man I ever came across.
Amazing to think he was from Dublin 4, because we put so much judgment on anyone from that postcode. D4 head. He was far from it.
Well, you know, and he bolted from that, I think, as a young man. You know,
he
took off on his extraordinary travels around the world, and he was born to explore, and he explored indigenous cultures, and he travelled to South America, and he travelled to Iceland, and he travelled to India, and he travelled all over America, and he didn't just travel to sightsee; he travelled to dive deeply into the way the people, the custodians of those lands lived. And I think, that's what I think also informed his immeasurable grow for Gaeilge as well. And what he has done for us on that is it can't be measured. It's an amazing, amazing man.
Do you remember meeting him for the first time?
I do. I met him for the first time. I was out in Arizona with our mutual friend, the great Brian Redden, a documentary TV maker.
Yeah, yeah.
And Brian was making a series at the time for TG Carr called Cowboys, Buckley Bow. And Máncán had just finished filming a program about Billy the Kid. And I was, flew over to Arizona. We met in Tucson on a hot evening. I was heading over to go down to Tombstone, Arizona, to tell the story of the gunfight at the OK Corral. So I remember we all met on this, I think it was a Mexican restaurant out in the warm night.
Yeah.
And I think Máncán probably stayed on in Tucson to kind of explore that land and to explore Arizona. Obviously, huge Native American resonances there as well. And then since then, I've had the pleasure of running into him in all kinds of places. He loved my dear friend Liam O'Mainley. He loved him. I think he, you know, really had a great connection with what Liam represents, not only in terms of the music that we make together, but the language and just his, the way of the outlook on life, the love for Indigenous culture, the love of the language. And you know, I remember the last few times I met Monaghan was down at the Boris Festival of Writing and Ideas, where, you know, which is a delightful festival where all kinds of people gather and discuss books and we play music, and Monaghan is a regular attendee there. And Liam was doing a solo show down at the hotel across the road from Boris House, and I'd finished moderating a talk with somebody, and I kind of decided I'd just grab the guitar, go down, plug it in and join him. And I could just see Monaghan just standing at the back wall with his arms folded and this beaming smile that just, he kind of emanated light and positive energy. And then when we met afterwards, just, you know, the arms wrapped around one another. And I remember saying to him, "I'm sorry to hear you're not well." He said, "Ah, that's all fine. I'm as well as could be, and I'm in great form, and really? everything is okay." He was so positive.
He was nearly jolly talking to Brendan a couple of weeks ago. He was so close to the end.
It just, the radio happened to be on in the kitchen like everybody else, and just our house fell still as we just gathered around his words with Brendan. And he was nearly jolly. He was just, oh, it's difficult to find the words, really. It was inspirational, you know. Mm. And all of his work was inspirational. He had a curiosity beyond measure.
Explosive curiosity, didn't he? And people in the world of Kjol gravitated towards him, whether it's yourself and Liam and even Kneecap. He was involved in music.
Kneecap loved him, you know. I mean, he did this incredible series for TG Carr nearly 20 years ago now called No Berla, where he took himself around the country, I think in a kind of a British racing green Jaguar, you know, and had, you know, the premise was that he was only allowed to speak Irish. So there he is, you know, preparing to go out to a nightclub to try and get lucky. And he goes into a pharmacy to buy Cushkini. What are Cushkini? They're condoms, you know. And of course, the pharmacist couldn't understand a word. He said, "It's brilliant." And I think the Kneecap lads fell in love with this series. And it's so tragic to think. I heard him talk to Brendan about the possibility of doing another series of No Berla, and you know, which obviously is now not going to happen. But I mean, I'm thrilled in a way that he was thinking in that way.
He was finding a new audience all the time, wasn't he? 32 Words for Field. I mean, that was a huge hit. Huge hit as a book.
Yes. And 99 Words for Rain and 1 for the Sun. What a great title that is, you know.
That's the new one.
I mean, his immersion into the Irish language is unlike anybody else I've ever come across, you know.
There are lovely messages here as well, Fíochna. So sad to hear the news about Monaghan. You're using a different dialect, aren't you? Because we always known him as Monaghan, as we talked in here. Maybe.
Monaghan. Monaghan, yeah, I suppose. I mean, people say to me, are you Fíochna or Fíochna? It's just either you know, get your value out of the CH or not.
Monaghan. Inspirational. Truly walk the talk in his life. If there's anyone in the spiritual world, it's Monaghan, because he's not gone. Sincere sympathies to his family and friends. It's a sad day. Rest in peace. That was from Claire, by the way. Anita says, "We've lost a wonderful teacher and soul. Catherine O'Brien, in a campaign devoid of cultural references, wouldn't he have made a wonderful president? It's so sad. He's such a loss to Ireland, a beautiful human being, taken too young," says Maureen. And another one, Liz, about as a nocturne, he wasn't interested, though, in being lifting himself up into high office or anything like that. He was of the other world, wasn't he?
Absolutely, he was. And there he is now. We're going to feel his presence all around of us today and in the coming days and forever, you know. And we will listen to him. We will listen to him, his collaborations with Claire Sands, his collaborations with Kneecap, his collaborations with Cuivín. There's, you know, there's a Scoil Scarta, which is something that he was involved in setting up.
Cathy
there
Scott.
They're beautiful. Yeah. Yes, with Cathy Scott. It's some incredible
tower
interviews.
Of work there,
yeah, absolutely.
Listen, thank you so much, Fíochna Tobrón Uram. And we're going to listen to Monaghan. He was talking to Tommy Tiernan about being a sort of fella who always had one foot in that other place.
I find it hard to believe the real world, and you know, to believe in the real world, to believe in reality. But that existence beyond is just, I'm so often there, I'm so often in that. And so...
Why are you so attracted to it?
I just think there's people who are incarnated in the world, ready to be in this world and to focus on their body and to doing all the things. And I just wasn't one of those people. I was one of those people who's probably always had one foot in the other world. And so that's why I think that I always was connected with herbs and plants and trees and nature, because I think nature has one foot in the other world as well, you know?
So do you think or do you feel that there's another world?
I know there is, yeah. But not a world, just other realities, yeah, other realms. You know, every one of your ancestors going back believed there were other realities. Going back, as far as we know, it just seems that the DNA comes encoded with this sense that there are bigger worlds. Yeah.
Monchon McGann there, and he's survived by his wife Aisling, his mother Crona, and his three siblings. I know Ruan have met him before, and we're Igshmeen about them today. Arieshge Gareva Anam, and thanks to Fichtna O'Brien on as well. We'll take a break. We'll be back with Tola McKay.
Text 51551. Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1.